Hello, welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie Marie.
Hi, Christy Marie, my mama, on this very special Life with the Girlfriends with Christy Marie and Julie.
It's special because
it's Mother's Day and you're my mama.
Oh, but you know what I say. Every day is Mother's Day with you.
Yes, that's
and it
true.
Has to be because we have this little thing in our family who says it first.
Yes. So of course, my brother gave you your Mother's Day flower sent to you on Friday. So at some point I can't, how far in advance do I have to say Mother's Day to you to beat that, before it becomes irrelevant, So hey, girlfriend, I know in May there's going to be Mother's Day. I'm just going to say it now. Happy Mother's Day so I can be my brother. Now, the little shithead decided to send flowers on a Friday, so he won.
Well, he won, yeah. But like I said, every day is Mother's Day. And I know Doug called up
yesterday,
and he was saying, if I say it now, did I win? And you said,
Nope, you didn't win.
Greg
won. And I'm like, you know what, guys? It doesn't count until it literally it turns midnight.
That's my feeling. Yeah.
And then, of course, this morning, I'm hearing, I'm coming down the steps, and I hear my father say to you, oh, happy Mother's Day, honey.
And I hear you from the steps going,
God damn it.
Came down the steps to say it, and
Greg,
you beat me.
Greg, then Doug, then Dad, then now me? God damn it. Oh, happy Mother's Day. And then you go, and then you're like, hey, every day's Mother's Day with you.
It is.
That's the truth, because every day I think about, how do I make my mama happy?
You do, though. You do. I mean, you're the only person in my life that goes, I know what you want. I know how you want to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, we have a shorthand.
We do. Well, because we've been in each other's, not just in little ways,
no,
but in big ways, we've been in each other's lives very, very much.
Yes.
For a long time.
Yes.
And I was, and I always feel that, through the course of our relationship, we just, even though I don't have a daughter of my own, I have faux stepdaughters. But in so many
ways. That's even the thing. You don't have daughters. Yes, you think you have stepdaughters, but you can even add one more adjective.
Yeah.
Faux stepdaughters.
Yeah. And in my mind, faux is like faux fur. It's like better.
Yes. Nobody's going to throw blood on you at a protest.
And I don't have to live with Doug. So that's good. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I was talking relationships with with Greg's wife and her sister. And I said, I had made a comment. I go, Doug and I do pretty good, but then again, I don't live with them. And they started laughing hysterically. Like, of course, it's all okay if you don't have to live with somebody. I'm like, that's true. It is all okay.
It's lot better.
It works for us.
Yeah. And of course, with Norm and I, he was on the road for 40 years,
Well, yeah. When they're gone a lot and they're distracted out in the world, they're not he's not a fashionista photographing the latest models, so
although he did tell me that at Archer Daniels Midland this week, he met a woman from the Sterling area named Veronica, and she used to drive for Riverbend.
Ooh,
and they chit chatted a while.
I bet.
And I said, "Does she have a sleeper or day cab?" He goes, "Oh, day cab." I go, "But you have a sleeper."
He goes, "God, yes, I do."
And I go, "How old is she?" "Oh, about 59." I go, that's
in the range.
That's doable, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I know.
That's why I say, that's kind of like, welcome to it.
Yeah. At some point, Norm, I want you to be happy also. A little bit of newness always makes everything a little bit more exciting.
I want you to be happy, Norm.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of funny because this week, we'll talk about this a little bit more. I want to bring this up. But it's been kind of nice. For the last For the last couple of weeks, we've been kind of in the process of planning this nice baby shower for someone.
Right.
And it's great because since COVID, no one's planning anything.
Right.
And we've done things remotely. And that's been kind of fun because we've had people from different states.
We Zoomed. We did Joseph.
Yes.
We did Grease Lightning.
Yes. And it's been kind of fun to have, to really have like these remote things go on and kind of remote parties.
Yeah.
But we really haven't planned a real party in like 16, 18 months.
Yeah.
And so
It's been a blast to help plan this. And also the fact that there's a million other things going on, and this has been like a bright, shiny light.
Yes, it has. And it was nice because, like, she's my faux niece.
That's right.
She's my faux niece. And she was gone living in Wisconsin.
And she's my faux great niece.
Yes. And she can.
And I really like her.
I do, too. I really adore her.
Yeah.
And she came back, and I haven't connected with her. She was in Wisconsin, came back. And the whole dealio is she no longer speaks to her mom and Doug's sister. And it makes me feel sad because now, you know, first of all, I was asking, you know, she came back to town and I asked my faux stepdaughters, like, hey, is someone throwing a shower for her?
She came back preggers.
Yeah. Oh, she came back preggers. And not just preggers. She's due in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And gratefully, the thing's to, you know, next weekend. Yeah. So it's a race to the finish. It's a race
Julie
to the finish.
Might be delivering a faux baby.
A faux baby.
A faux great, great, whatever you call those things.
A faux great niece baby. Would you be your faux step great great niece baby for you?
Yeah.
And she came back preggers and with her guy, and he's healthily employed here, which I love. And they got a little tiny duplex, and I feel grateful. I feel happy about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the biggest ordeal and the hurdle that we have to go over is that she does not talk to her mother, who also lives in the same town.
Yeah.
And not just lives in the same town, is kind of a part of Doug's life in the sense that, you know, she lives with Doug's brother, who's, you know, not emotionally delayed because I'm emotionally delayed.
Developmentally delayed.
When you say she, you mean
the girl's mom.
Yes. Yeah. Girl's mom.
And can I say something though, real quickly? It's not like she doesn't talk to her mom. It's the mom also doesn't talk to her.
Yeah, but she would like to talk to her.
The mom would like to talk to her?
Oh, yeah. I think that's what you miss.
I did not know that.
No, the mom would like to talk to her if she plays. So let's call her the mom. Let's call her Cece. Okay. No real. And let's call the daughter.
Dee Dee.
Sure. Cece and Dee Dee. That's good enough. So Cece would love to talk to her daughter, but she only wants to talk to her if she plays by her rules, her game. Like, she'll say, I don't know why my kids don't talk to me. I gave them so much. Now,
yeah, from what I remember, even at 11 years old, she was living with her grandma.
Yes. Well, even so, Cece was living with Doug's mom as well. So, I mean, like, Cece, backdrop story in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. I was just trying to say there's reciprocity in the non-speaking department.
There is. And it's not. And the biggest thing is that they don't have a developed relationship ever.
Right.
Because they, Cece was a single mom and raising Dee Dee by herself without truly any emotional, she doesn't have the emotional capability or capacity to be a good mom.
Right.
Or even, I'm not even saying good mom, because really all kids want you to be is an average mom.
Right.
Even a below average mom would be okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the problem is she worked at the prison, which was a good job. You know, Cece was never able to, quote unquote, financially care for her daughter completely,
mm-hmm.
which is not unlike a lot of people, right?
Right.
So she moved in with her mom.
Right.
With Cece's mom. Mm-hmm. And then, and so was Dee Dee. So you had Cece's mom and Dee Dee living with
BB.
BB, the first, the matriarch
right.
of the family.
Yeah.
And then Cece also needed help with like daycare. So, the baby daddy's mom, we're going to call her Nana because why not? No one knows who Nana is, would take care of her as well. Now, in the midst of this, a lot of times, for whatever reason, Cece, even though living with her mother and not paying rent and all this stuff, would get secondary jobs. Yeah. So even, I mean, like, she was always continuously working. Now, in some people's storylines, they repeat their mother, like, oh, my mom had to work two or three jobs to support us and all that stuff. But in the midst of that, they had, like, you know, good times together. Mom would come home with pizza and we'd have good parties and watch movies. I mean, their moms were nice, you know, and, mm-hmm. and even though they were hardworking and so forth, they still had memories that were positive.
Oh, yeah.
They never developed good, healthy, positive memories
right.
to lean on right. when things went wrong.
I get you.
And so, that was part of the problem. And right. then at a young age, I think at the age of like 10,
yeah,
Cece had a major car accident that changed her life forever.
Right.
And she's never yet fully healed. And I mean that, this is 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
12 years ago.
You know, she lost a leg, you know, and she's been on pain meds, and she's little. And so I think at some point then, you know, Dee Dee just kind of like relied on her Nana a lot more. And then
Moved in with Nana.
And at some point, Cece wanted more from Dee Dee, but there was nothing there. And she just stopped returning phone calls. Dee
and
Dee
this
did.
Is all interesting. This is why we're going to have a shower for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to roll this out because I think that Cece would like to have a relationship, but because there was nothing there to build on at this stage to Dee Dee, it's just the bad parts.
Right.
And now other parts like going, oh, you know, is that Cece has like written on Facebook or sent Facebook messages like you're such an ungrateful kid and all this stuff. I've done so much for you.
Thank you for I needed you to start saying that stuff because.
Yeah.
So it's just so no people just know dysfunctional.
Oh, highly.
And there is no fun in dysfunctional in this relationship.
And so if you have a relationship that's zero fun. And they're like, well, you know, hey, mama, I really don't need this. I don't need any of it from right. you. And then I'm always like, well, why move back to the same town? There's nothing here for you.
Because it's what she knows
what
and
she
her
knows.
Friends are here.
Yeah.
And listen, in a small town, you have that, though.
You have
people that all know each other.
Right.
And they know each other's where the warts are.
Right.
And the skeletons are buried. And they know the triggers. And you still somehow, country boy can survive.
Okay. Right. And so here's an example of a very highly dysfunctional relationship that they no longer have a relationship between mother and daughter. But Dee Dee, my faux niece, is having a baby girl.
That's right.
And I know, now this is one thing.
And we're throwing her a shower at Doug's house.
Yes.
Because he has more porch, like what would you call it? He has more screened-in patio porch
than he does house. Yes, he does. It's a bachelor pad with a bigger bachelor patio.
Big back patio, all covered, all screened in. So we're having it there, girlfriend.
And so when I found out that she wasn't having a shower, and I'm like, we have to throw her a shower because we have to. Here's the reason why. When I was conceived, it wasn't under the best of circumstances. With your mom.
Oh, okay. When you were conceived, it was under good circumstances.
Yes, it was. The actual conception part
was
very awesome. For not two beautiful 19-year-old people who had pent up, yes, I'm sure. I'm sure it was perfect. I was definitely conceived in lust. I get that. And love. I'm not saying I wasn't conceived in love. No, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
Okay. But for your mom, it wasn't the best of news. But you had.
That's true.
But you had an aunt.
Yes, I did.
Who was really kind to you.
Yeah.
Who passed away.
I know. She just passed away this week. I know.
I know. It's so sad. But just so full circle.
Yeah.
And honestly, though.
She was actually very, very kind to me.
And it kept you going through the course of the years.
Yes, it did.
Like, I can be different. I can be better.
Yeah.
And see, Dr. Laura, if anybody older than 40 knows who Dr. Laura is, maybe 50, actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dr. Laura, she was a radio talk show person.
For years.
And she wasn't she was a faux doctor in the sense that she was a doctor of kinesiology.
Sports medicine.
Sports, not medicine.
No, just sports.
She's a doctor of sports. I'm like, cool. But anyway.
She just got that doctor in front of her name, though.
She says, and I don't know why I remembered this one line my whole life.
Yeah.
She goes, you have two times in your life to have a successful mother-daughter relationship.
Yeah.
If the first one didn't work out, you can have a successful one with the second one.
Exactly right.
And I'm like, oh my God, wouldn't it be lovely if Dee Dee has, because she's having a baby girl, she has a successful relationship with her daughter.
Yes.
And it's healing for her.
Yes.
It can heal the past.
Yes.
Now, I bring up healing the past because I want to talk about time travel later on before the show ends, just a little bit.
Oh,
just
lovely.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So I really, really want this to be a celebratory moment.
Yes.
I want her to know that this side of the family has her back, loves her to death, which we do.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm a faux step aunt, not step. I'm actually a faux aunt, right? Because I'm not a step aunt.
No.
Right. There's no step. I'm a faux aunt. That's right. I don't feel it's my responsibility to like have tried to track her down and all this stuff.
Right.
That wasn't my, no. I shouldn't, that's not where I, but at this moment I can be, hey, you
magnanimous.
Go girl. Yes. Yeah. And like throw money at the problem right now.
That's
what we're doing. Let's just say, you know, we bought pink. I want her to think that we really, really spent time on her and it has been fun because we're going to have a party.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to have a
And it's been fun to organize it.
It has.
And to feel part of it.
It has. It really has. And I know that, you know, and the word is we can't tell anybody else in Doug's family.
Yeah, because of the dysfunctionality of it all.
Yeah.
Nobody's supposed to know.
Right.
Because here's the thing. The screened-in porch area, which is bigger than Doug's entire house,
yes,
has been basically kind of a junk area.
Think, you know, he didn't graduate to hoarders.
No.
But
he graduated to faux hoarders.
Faux hoarders.
Everything about Doug is faux.
Exactly.
So we've had the job of cleaning up that area.
Yes.
We've been doing it for like the last 4 weeks.
Well, it was great because when I had this idea of like, you know, I talked to one of Doug's daughters and I talked to both of them. I said, hey, let's take out Dee Dee. Let's celebrate her. And then, you know, but I don't know how to get to hold of her, but let's do it, you know? And they're like, okay, that's cool. And then later on, one of Doug's daughters was like, well, you know, she said that one of her friends is going to throw her a shower, but backed out. And I'm like, you know, I go, great, we'll throw her a shower. And then he goes, okay, I'll help. I'll do it. Great. That's wonderful. And I go, let's talk about who we can invite. She's like, I'll get the list going. I go, what about, I know we're not inviting her mother. And then she goes, oh, hell no, we're not inviting her mother. And I go, what about, you know, these people that are part of the family? And they're like,
So you're ending up being the matriarch there.
I am.
Yes.
I am. Which means then you can't talk about it with anybody else except for the two people that we know, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay,
it's all good.
That's good. I'm not going to get into too much of the weeds of this, but it does become hard to negotiate conversations because then, oh, how's life going? Oh, fine. Life's going good. Can't say anything. Been really, really busy. Spending, you know, having fun, but I don't want to tell you why because
we're overthrowing this major.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, can't tell
major
you what.
Shower.
Major shower. So that's my new band name, Major Shower.
Thank God, because it used to be golden.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's a golden major shower, our major golden shower. But it's interesting because you take out the shower and put sunshine, golden major major golden sunshine. That's kind of sweet.
Well, Major Sunshine sounds like a Beatles album.
It does.
Yeah.
But then you put replace shower with sunshine with shower, whole new meaning.
Yeah.
Even though they kind of sound the same.
Then it sounds like a Courtney Love song.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. Beatles to Courtney Love, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because Courtney Love, you'd think you'd have nothing but thoughts of love inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Beatles, a little black thing that curls up you.
Not just the opposite.
Just the opposite. You know, in so many ways, you love that stuff.
Yes.
You love things not being the obvious.
I love that.
Emotional connection,
right,
and emotional stuff.
Yeah.
And so forth.
Yes.
But
I wish
her well.
Yes.
Dee Dee.
Yes.
With her new EE coming.
That's right.
And it's one thing that I think of, because you and I have a successful mother-daughter relationship.
Yes.
Through the course of our life.
Yes.
And it's very healing to me.
Yes.
And I think that's one reason
why. And to me as well.
Yeah. And I think that's one reason why I've never had, well, because I have faux stepdaughters as well, I don't ever miss. When I was growing up, I just assumed I'd have my children of my own.
Yeah.
I mean, it was never even a thought.
Right.
Like, being like, oh, of course I'm going to have kids. Of course I'm going to have kids. I know I'm going to have kids. I'm surprised that this is the way my life has turned out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not unhappy about it.
Right.
Like, oh, my God, this is.
Well, I've noticed, I've seen throughout the years that they come to you.
Yeah.
And you're the voice of reason.
Right.
Whereas their real mother. It's their real mother.
Right, exactly. Too much invested in some sense.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's, and, you know, so that's kind of like, I hope so.
There's all different kinds of moms, aren't there?
There is. There is.
Yeah. There's like the moms, like my mom was like competitive.
Yeah.
You know, and when we were young, she'd go I'd bring home almost all A's and a few B's. And she'd go, oh, well, you know, you're the second smartest in your class, which I was.
Right.
The first smartest was my best friend. So
right.
She always compared me to her.
Yeah, all good.
You know, and it was like really interesting because I remember the first time I saw my best friends. She invited me home to her house. And I was like, really? And I was going to be scared, you
right.
know, because our house was always like, you never knew
volatile.
Who was going to throw something or whatever.
Yeah.
And when we went in and her mom was like, so nice. And no, what do you want on your hamburger, honey? And I'm like, when does the screaming start? And like, you know, and let's all say our prayers. Okay. But when does the beating start? Certainly. And she goes, we have Hershey's syrup. Do you want chocolate in your milk? You get milk?
I thought you said horseshoe syrup.
No, Hershey's.
Hershey syrup. Yes. And I'm like, and you're going, wait a minute.
So you could have chocolate milk and a hamburger?
Like, holy cow, did I just move into heaven?
Yes.
Or is this,
I just like,
have I been living in purgatory this whole time I wasn't aware?
I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
So we have those kind of moms, too.
Yeah. Moms run the gamut.
Yeah.
And the thing is, your mom was very competitive, but your mom was also very fair between the siblings.
True.
In weird ways.
Yeah, in weird ways.
Like if she gave your brother one thing, she'd have to give you and the other brother something.
Right, right.
I mean, she just was very, very fair. And that was the way she tried to, like, she expressed her love.
Right.
And, but because, you know, it's weird, because she was so competitive,
mm-hmm.
and she was mean. And,
yes.
But you never... You didn't want to just like cut everything off with her.
No, but I was encouraged to many times by many different therapists.
Yes, exactly. Like, because you'd have evidence, because back in the day they didn't have Facebook, they had letters, and you'd get letters of just how much of a disappointment you were. And I kept thinking to myself, I know this woman. She's like the best person in the world. How in the world are you a disappointment to your mom?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just like,
I was going to be this big star or something.
Yes. Your
at
local,
18.
Yes. A local.
And then at 19, I met your Normano.
Yeah, and the timelines came apart.
The truck driving Normano.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the hopes and dreams and wishes and everything just sort of.
And she couldn't let that go.
No.
But she had a huge life. I mean, like, she,
yeah,
to the outside world, my grandmother was like Miss Party Girl.
Yeah.
She can carry a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
She was magnanimous.
And she was loved.
She was loved and adored.
Yeah.
And she could talk shit about anybody, which is great and funny.
Yeah.
Except that that cruel streak really was for her family.
Yeah.
And I remember I could, because of my personality, I could always take care of her.
Yes.
She started getting older and she needed more help.
Yes.
And I remember driving down and seeing her once a month to, we'd go out, we write.
It would be sometimes more than that.
No, it was every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'd go down, either spend the night or one day, a full day, drive 5 hours, write checks out, get food, get bail to the bank, all this stuff, go to the movies, just enough to kind of keep her going, you know?
Yeah.
And then it was wild because it wasn't as painful for me, but she laid on the guilt trip. Like,
oh, yeah.
Every time I left, she's like, you know, the tears and the, and I'm like, you know.
And they were probably real.
I'm sure they were.
But she knew how to throw the guilt.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
But it made it less, because I knew it was coming, it made the whole day less enjoyable for me. But I still did it because I could, because that's who I was.
But, you know, her mom, you know, was very similar to her in a sense. And yet of all the daughters that were there, my mom only moved 6 blocks away.
Right.
We lived 6 blocks.
Yeah.
So I never figured that one out.
Right.
It was a love-hate relationship, but my mom could have moved across the country.
She could have. But some of the daughters did.
Yeah, all the other daughters did.
All the other daughters did.
As far as they could. And she moved 6 houses away.
She could have you not move away, too. Like, why would you move away? And you're like, well, I'm moving away because this is not staying here. This is crazy. I remember for a short time in your life, you didn't have a community. You didn't talk to your mom.
For a very short time. Yeah.
And maybe a couple months.
No, it was longer.
Oh, was it?
It was about 6 or 7 months.
And finally, and you were happy.
You know why? You didn't remember what it was?
I don't know the reason why.
I can tell you.
Okay, cool.
She gave you 2 coats.
Oh, that's right.
That I don't know if she bought them or got them on sale or Goodwill. And she didn't feel that you thanked her enough.
Right. And it was a big hoopla.
It was a big hoopla.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't accept my phone calls, and I didn't know why.
Right.
And finally she wrote me a letter.
Yeah.
And I just wrote her back saying, well, you know, let's, you know, what, this is silly.
Yeah.
And no, she didn't want to talk.
Okay.
And so then I just went, okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So it was, and I think what happened was my brother knew about this, and I think she was actually starting to like lean on him, and
right,
and he was like, I don't like this.
This cannot happen.
We got to get Chris back in the game. And I think 6 or 7 months later, he called me up, but she was on the other line.
Yeah,
he had 3 weighed us in, and hence,
hence the relationship kept going.
No, you know what? I'm not really sure. It might have been because I sent her flowers on Mother's Day.
I think it was both. I remember the phone call because you were surprised that your brother called you. And then at the exact same moment, by the way, I'm 3-way mom in. She's here too.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Yeah. And this is enough because I can't take it anymore. Well, it was weird because I can't, because of the way my memory works, I don't remember. I remember there was a time that you guys didn't talk.
Yeah.
I remember that there was a problem where I didn't say thank you enough for a coat.
Right.
But I'd always said thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I wasn't like, oh, yeah, coat, thank you.
I poop on you.
Yeah. How dare you buy me a coat? But I always remember if I didn't behave in the exact way that she thought I should behave.
100%.
She would be just angry.
100%.
And resentful.
Yes.
And you're just like,
can't. And the silent treatment
well. And you just, I can't, you know, you go, how do you please someone you don't know the rules?
Yeah.
And so.
But nowadays you just go, you don't.
You don't.
And you're off it too. You know, on to other things.
And then when she got older, she did mellow and soften because she had to in some sense.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I do miss, choke up a little bit. I was going to say, I do miss Grandma. I
it's a lot easier to miss her now that she's gone.
For a decade.
Yeah.
You know.
It's still
she's still right there, though.
She's still there.
That's the thing. That's what I mean, because at the end of for the last decade of our grandma's life, yeah. Your mom's life,
yeah.
We had a workable relationship because she needed just a little bit more help.
Yeah.
And her defenses were down. Yeah. And so her anger and ire was gone.
Right.
And so she was much more enjoyable, and I could do what I felt was my quote-unquote family responsibility.
Wouldn't it have been lovely, though, if she had been like the way she was then all through her life?
Oh, she would have had a better last 10 of years
yes,
of her life.
Yeah.
When that
she
sign says,
come live
hey,
with us.
Be kind to your kids because they'll pick out your nursing home.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to need help picking out the last 5 years of your life on how you, and she, first off, she lived well her whole life.
Oh yeah.
You know, she was at the Catholic shrine and then,
that's right.
And then she came in and lived in a close nursing home up here where we saw her, I would say every day, if not every other day.
That's right.
So we did, but at those, when that started to happen, so like first she needed us to, for me to come down there every 3 weeks to take care of her, make sure she's, you know, she was still... She's still viable, had friends, but I didn't want her to, you know, I wanted to make sure I could check in on her.
Right.
And then, you know, you just kind of slow down a little bit and so forth. And, but it's interesting, on a whole, I remember those last 15 years, those where she kind of, she mellowed a little bit.
Right.
And that feels better than remembering those things. But I would have loved Dee Dee to be able to have that kind of relationship with Cece where it could just be possibly not so crazy.
Yeah.
But however, this works for her.
That's
right. She doesn't have to ever speak with her mom.
It's something that she knows.
Something that she knows.
Yeah.
She's known it her whole life. And I can't, and then I'm like now, and it's kind of, I'm getting distracted right now because the way you have your makeup mirror, I can see myself.
I told Dad not to do that,
and it's and you have it on.
I used to have it horizontal,
yeah.
So nobody could see anything.
Yeah,
that's bad feng shui.
Yeah, like hey,
I told him it was bad feng shui.
It's not only just
for spirits,
exactly. So, you know.
See Grandma in the mirror?
Yeah, sometimes I do.
I know.
I see myself more and more. I'm like going, hi, Grandma. And it's so weird because I don't see Dad's mom in the mirror.
No.
Which I had a great relationship with Grandma.
Yeah.
I mean, she was even.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
She was cookie baking Grandma.
She was cookie baking my Grandma. Yeah. And I remember spending weeks with her.
Yes.
And liking it.
Yes.
And feeling loved.
Yes.
But what I never felt from my dad's mom, I always felt that I was like, people liked to be like, oh, hey, I'm glad you're here. Like everybody in her side of the family, my dad's side of the family, when you came over, you felt, I'm glad I'm seeing you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
And that's how I always want people to feel.
Yeah.
Like, I've learned two ways.
How did you feel when you went to my family's house?
Oh, horrible.
Yeah.
I felt that I was a nuisance.
Yeah.
I felt, and even though they would take me to the zoo sometimes or we'd go out, I literally felt that we were interfering with their lives.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm like, we don't have to come.
When you were born, my mom and I was in the hospital, of course.
Yeah.
And my mom and I walked to see you. You know, in the little incubator or whatever.
Right.
And the first thing she said to me was like, don't ever ask me to babysit.
Done.
Like, done.
Done.
I wasn't intending to, but okay.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, we're not going to stay around. How do I become a wife and mother, knowing and still be... You know, without like, oh, by the way, you're supposed to be a good, you know, mama. You're supposed to be a good wife and mother, and you're supposed to be a good mother, daughter to your other mother, who's about basically saying, I don't want to see your kid. I don't want to babysit. Don't rely on me for anything.
Well, she didn't say she didn't want to see you. She didn't want to babysit.
Right.
She didn't want to,
Yes. I mean, that was her fear. Like,
I don't know, but the only times that you went there to see them was if you were invited.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's not that we denied.
No.
No, which some parents do. Deny right. access to their
right.
children.
You would never do that.
No.
No, we never saw them unless they asked to see us.
Right.
And what would happen typically is when we were visiting Dad's mom, at some point, Dad's mom would drive halfway, and your mom and Dad would drive halfway.
Yeah,
and they'd switch off like divorced parents.
Right.
And it was funny because every time we get in the car, someone, your mom or Dad would say, "I know we're driving more than half.
It's not equitable.
It's not equitable."
And you're and like, "Oh, geez."
I go, "Okay."
And I used to always remember that you used to. Cry
when we left Grandma.
When you left Grandma Peters,
we did.
And when you went to see Grandpa, you cried again, like we're back.
Yeah. And we never would cry when we left your mom and dad. And
they used to always wonder why.
Yeah.
Really?
You wonder why? Because we spent, because Dad's mom, we really felt loved by her. And we felt like she liked us.
Yeah.
And we weren't a nuisance. I mean, like, I don't feel like we were a nuisance to her.
Yeah.
I always felt when we were growing up that we were a nuisance to your mom and dad.
Yeah, exactly. So did we.
Yeah. And then, but when you realize that, you're going, I don't want to make anybody feel that way. I don't care what I'm doing.
It made me a different kind of mother, though.
Yes.
I think maybe a better mother. I'm sure you always felt loved.
100%. And I felt liked.
Yes.
That's even better.
That's better.
I felt loved and I felt liked.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
I think nowadays that you're supposed to say to your kid, no matter what, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But you know, what if you just said, I like you.
Yeah.
I really like you.
I like you. Yeah, you're a good person.
Yeah.
I like you.
I dig that about
My
you.
My love is unconditional. But you know what? I like you, kid.
I like you.
You're like, you like me too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. And that doesn't... I don't have to.
Like, I love Elliot, but you know... Sometimes I don't like him.
Exactly.
That's our dog, by the way.
Yeah, Elliot's your dog. Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh. So, you know, but I think about, though, those moments when people have cut out, because we do know women who've cut out their moms.
Yeah.
And you think, even as adults, you're like, what was that last draw?
Not only did they cut out their moms, they changed their names.
Oh, yeah. Change your names. Like, what was the last draw?
Yeah.
Like, because it's not like their mother then... never took up emotional space in their brain.
Oh, hell no.
They're still taking up emotional space in the brain.
Yeah.
Except now you don't have to physically see them. You can't resolve anything and you never can build any happier moments. It's all like, I'm done.
That's kind of been a kind of a meme this week.
Yes.
Because we heard about Bill and Melinda Gates.
Shocked.
After how many years?
I think 3 decades almost.
Yeah. And then our beloved Adam Carolla.
Yes.
He and Lynette.
They're getting
after
divorced.
25 years.
Yes.
They're getting divorced. And, you know, the meme this week is like, well, what was the last draw after long marriages?
Right.
You can see after like 5, 6, 7 years, you're like, we tried.
We tried.
Let's move on to number
right.
two before we're too old to attract someone.
I guess. I know.
Yeah. So what was the last straw
right.
after a 30 or 40 year marriage?
Right.
And one person said that I don't know if these were on Twitter or Facebook or they were all going all over, but one person said he farted inside the
car
with all the windows were rolled up, and I just went,
darn.
Oh no,
I'm done with this.
I'm done today.
Yes,
I'm packing my bags,
and it's funny because
I'm leaving on a jet plane
because you know instead of
because that probably was their song.
Yeah, and that was their that was her last draw.
Yeah,
and one person hashtagged in saying that you know my grandma left my grandpa probably is going, I'm tired of looking at your ugly ass
because they can't keep your pants up anymore.
Because you can't keep your pants up anymore.
Julie and I have this thing when we're in a parking lot and we watch old men go into the store and like all of them their pants like you could put like two other butts in their pants.
Yes, I don't know what happens, but I don't understand then why the fashion industry hasn't come up with a way to create pants for the buttless. Because It needs to be solved. It really needs to be solved. I heard the other day Tommy Hilfiger.
Tommy Hilfiger?
Yeah. Tommy Hilfiger.
Yeah.
One, that person.
Yeah.
He just came out with a whole product line for people who have mobility issues.
Yeah.
So like instead of buttons, they have Velcro and things like that to put on clothes, and it's all
besides buttons and yes. zippers.
Yes.
Trust me, it's all Velcro.
Exactly.
It's not just something else.
No.
It's just Velcro.
Exactly. Exactly.
At some point,
and elastic. Yeah. Lots of Velcro. It's lots of elastic.
Like, well, it's not like he invented it because male strippers have been doing it forever.
That was his muse. He went to see, you know.
Somebody sent him a policeman came to his door with a big boom box.
No, are those hunks from Down Under?
Yeah.
He went and saw that production of, were the Aussies Down Under?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And he saw them disrobe quickly and he was inspired. He's like, oh my gosh.
I can make this for the disabled.
Yes, exactly.
Tommy Hilfigerless.
So, and I think too now, Tommy, do you not see your male counterparts? Because he's getting up there in age.
Yeah.
None of them have tushes.
Yeah.
And so what happens is.
It's the stuff from the back moves to the front.
And they, exactly.
And
they,
up.
They have a little bit of a tummy.
Yeah.
And even if they're real skinny, they have a real bit of tummy.
Yeah.
And they can't figure out how to get their pants.
Right.
So, Tommy, please.
So they end up wearing like a lot of jogging suits
or suspenders, which I'm not a fan of.
I would rather, well, would you rather see suspenders on an old guy or a jogging suit? The jogging suit makes me feel like they're like drug dealers
or
Eastern European people,
truck drivers. Because like I had a load on Saturday and I had a load for my weekly competition.
You have to explain that, Julie.
I had to go to Waterloo, Iowa, which is kind of a haul.
And on a 16 or your 16 wheeler.
So, yep. Because we have super singles tires.
Yes.
So it's usually
14.
Could be an 18 wheeler, but mine's only a 16 wheeler because my wheels are bigger. But anyway, I get there at 7:30 in the morning. And
they're triple D's.
Of course they are. There's another truck already there. And I'm like, oh no. And which means I'll have to wait, possibly.
That's what that means.
But a guy comes out. He's already out waiting by the door like, I got to get there first before this other woman does. And I knew right away. That in my mind, I'm going, okay, he's wearing a tracksuit. And he's got socks on with sandals. I go, I'm this guy's going to come with me with an accent.
Yeah.
European, Eastern European accent. Yeah. And I'm like, comes out. I'm like, nailed it.
Nailed it.
And I'm not profiling. Because I think it's funny. I'm not profiling. But I nailed it. And so, I thought about using, I kind of dig that
track suit uniform,
truck driving kind of thing. It's kind of nice and comfy.
But if he had on chains, like, you know, gold chains, he'd be like a record producer.
Exactly. Yeah. He literally was only one or two gold chains away from having a gold album. So I'm like, you know,
well,
do it good.
Here's what I didn't understand. Like, and I get these catalogs, you know, in the mail, and I get their male counterparts. One of them is called King Size. Mm-hmm. I like to look through it.
Yeah.
And so, but the models are King Size men. And not just tall. They're robust looking.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, like, they sell a million different kinds of tracksuits. And you're like, really? Are you really jogging? Because it's like around the track in those suits?
Right, right.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, I don't get that part. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't call it tracksuits. I'd call it distracting suits. Don't. Like, I want to distract you from the fact that I don't run around the track.
Well, it's funny because the guys, the truckers that come, you know, have that I see wearing the track suits.
Yeah.
None of them are that chunky.
No.
They're all slight or of normal build.
Right.
And so that's the difference between I mean, they're doing it because of this is what you wear when you're trucking.
Yeah,
because
you got to be comfortable.
Got to be comfortable. Right. And I'm wearing my sandals. So I'm like, I'm going to take my sandals off and put my working sandals. I have sandals that I walk around the place with. And then I have my inside truck sandals. Mm-hmm. And I keep them separate. I'm like, I dig that. That's kind of a cool, a cool thing to do.
Right.
But that's just not.
Well, Norman has his shorts that he wears.
Yeah.
Trucking.
Yeah.
He showed me that the other day. He goes,
I mean, truckers are coming in all shapes and sizes now.
Yeah.
Because remember, I think, did I share with you that I saw that CrossFit trucker?
Yes.
And he was out there working out, tying ropes to his truck and, doing the rope thing, yeah. Throwing the ropes around. And he had a mat and doing the mat thing. I'm like, oh my God, this is so awesome. And, so it's like we're doing it.
Yeah.
And then, so then I want to say, screw you, Elon Musk, for trying to take a million jobs away from us by creating driverless trucks.
They'll still need somebody to get out of that truck.
Yes. They haven't created a robot yet. Yeah. Will it just be an app?
well, here's the thing, too. Like Doug was saying, he saw on TV that commercial for Pizza Hut where this little robot car delivers pizza. And you have to walk out of your house to pick it up. And he goes, hell, the whole reason to order pizza
delivered
is that you don't have to get out of your easy chair. You just go on your, put it inside the door.
Yes.
And leave it.
And especially with him when he had his leg all messed up and he couldn't move.
Yeah.
He was like, this is, I needed this.
Yeah.
But he goes, I couldn't have walked to the street to get my pizza.
No.
It would have been better for me to get into my car.
So that there's going to be blowback. There's going to be pushback.
Exactly.
Trust me on this one.
So I know we're talking about mothers today and different kind of mother and daughter relationships and mother son relationships and all that stuff. And I kind of want to veer a little bit to a different topic, if this would be okay.
Sure.
I want to talk about motherships.
Motherships?
Yes.
Is that like relationships?
Yeah, that's it could be.
Or is it the mothership?
It is the mothership, the UFOs.
All right, tell me.
Okay, I thought we were all in agreement that we are agreeing that UFOs exist.
Yes.
I mean,
if the Navy says so.
If our U.S. government says so.
Yeah. And the Italian government says so.
So I'm going to just kind of go veer back and forth because I got a lot in my mind and a lot to unpack in the next 8 minutes. Okay. I was watching one of my somewhat favorite shows. I kind of got out of favor with it. It was Ancient Alien Theorists. Or what? It's not what they call it, though, is it?
No, I don't know.
It's called Ancient Aliens, maybe.
We'll say.
But they talk about ancient, but the people who talk on it are ancient alien theorists. And they're, and this must be an.
Hence, theory is the major word.
Theory is the big word.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, they were mentioning how Japan has a huge history of seeing UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
They have lots of videotape of it and lights in the skies and so forth. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned that in 2017, the first lady of Japan, the prime minister of Japan says that, yes, we're pretty sure there's UFOs and there's intelligent things controlling them. So they didn't really say that they're ships coming down.
Mm-hmm.
They're just saying there's things in our sky. We don't know what they are. And there are intelligent things controlling them.
Right.
And we don't know what they are.
Right.
Now here's the other thing. The first lady, at the time, I'm not sure if she's still the first lady, says that when she was younger, she was abducted by aliens.
Oh my God.
I know. Now, I don't.
That's awesome.
I don't know why this wasn't global news,
right?
And I think we do miss out on a lot of this interesting stuff that's going on around the world because we're so USA centric.
Oh, I know.
And we miss out, like, oh, guys, we live in a global community. There's some effing awesome cool stuff going on.
Right.
So we have Captain Friedman or whatever his name was. Flavor. I think his last name was the guy from the Navy that saw the Tic Tac UFOs and all
right,
that stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, we have that. And then we have like several. I mean, you and I personally together and alone have seen 6 or 7 UFO encounters.
Right.
pretty awesome.
Never
different
been
shapes.
Abducted, unfortunately.
Never, or fortunately.
Fortunately.
If you guys have Netflix, they have Mysteries, what's that show called? Unsolved Mysteries.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
In the first season, they have one, I don't know what episode it is.
I think it's like three or four.
And they talk about this town in New Hampshire or Connecticut.
Or Maine.
Or Maine, mm-hmm. where a UFO comes to this town and a lot of kids and families get abducted.
Yeah.
And then placed back.
In the course of 24 hours.
In the course of 24 hours. Yeah. I have chills thinking about it. Yeah. A whole town.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why we did. I never heard about this story.
No, don't. Why is it in your history lesson?
I mean, it should be in my history lesson. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And guess what? I still wake up and go to work. But I have to admit that now that we're like most, a lot of us are talking about our stories.
Yeah.
I'm a little more afraid going out at night. Not, I mean,
interesting.
I talk myself, yeah. Well, I'm always afraid of cougars and bears.
Right.
Oh my. And then I'm also afraid, I look in the sky, I'm like, I could see something. I yeah. want to see something. And yeah. I talk myself through saying, I am open to seeing something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to seeing something. I'm just not sure if I have the fear factor to have a meeting one-on-one.
Right.
But I'm getting closer to that.
Right.
I'm getting closer to it.
Right.
To being open to it.
Right.
You know.
A lot of people say, though, that, you know, because the country is so divided.
Right.
So really, 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 really divided. Yep. That we need something like that
right.
to happen
right.
to unite us.
Well, and then you're going, are we going to have a false UFO flag? That would be crazy. That would be crazy.
Oh.
That would be crazy. You know, but I guess it could happen. I don't know. So anyway, I'm listening to Dax Shepard on Armchair Experts.
Right. We love Dax.
Once a month talking about conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. And he's a New Zealander. I don't think he's an Aussie from down under because I would love to, see his, you know, his,
what?
His pants get ripped off.
I didn't know what you were to see.
But anyway, we're having a little technical difficulties.
Are we really?
Just a little bit, but they can solve it in post-production. We'll hope so, everybody. We'll see. Anyway, so, and they were talking about...
Gee, Julie, you just used the word post-production.
I know.
Oh, my
people
God.
People are like going, you post-produce this?
Oh, my God.
Not really.
You mean in the 10 minutes after the show's over?
Yeah. I put in the music in the beginning and the end. That's what I do. Otherwise, it's not fun for me. And let's just face it. We do this only because we have a good modal relationship. And this makes me, I can rely on this and make this happy for me.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm...
Dax Shepard.
Yeah. And this month was all about the simulation.
Right.
Like... Are we living in a simulation? That's right. A conspiracy theory.
Right.
And you're like, and so you realize
I love
the term
thinking
Lucy,
about it like that.
Yeah, conspiracy theory is such a broad terminology. We're talking about
but
the simulation.
But it's a theory.
It's a theory. It's a theory.
Just like evolution.
And so they brought up the theory of this, and they lumped it in the same place with UFOs. Like how they don't exist,
mm-hmm.
and time travel, how it doesn't exist, and how God doesn't exist. They put it all together. And I started going.
That's an interesting stew.
I go, this is pretty wild that we're doing this.
Yeah. Is Dax not a believer?
He's not a believer, which is interesting because he works his program, which is always about a higher self.
He works a 12-step program.
And so, but he's also, he graduated with a degree in archaeology.
Mm.
Which means that, you know, he studied the religions of everybody's culture, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you really don't dive deep with your own spirituality,
mm-hmm.
religion looks like a flat, weird thing to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Jordan Peterson said, not to be confused with the really great looking guy, Jordan,
Michael B. Jordan, yeah.
But Jordan B. Peterson, he said, if we could just take religion, the word religion out and put in the word deep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these stories have deep meaning for us.
Mm-hmm.
How do we learn from them? How do we have
their
life?
You can find it out in the deep state.
Yeah, and oh, God. Take a normal word and twist it. But anyway, what they were saying was, and I thought this was interesting, and I want to talk more about this, but I don't have time.
Oh, no.
This idea, so we talked about, like, hashtag, what was the last draw, right?
Right.
But, like, what has happened in your life that you're going, oh, this makes me feel like this was a simulation? Like right. meeting somebody out of the clear blue sky, having the thought that you wanted to meet. We would call that secret work, you know, or yeah. like, you know, you put yeah. the thought out, or faith work.
Right.
Like, God, I really need this to happen. And then somebody out of the clear blue sky you meet. And I have one situation where I thought to myself, oh, this is where the code went bad. And I will share it with you.
Yes.
And I did bring this up a year or two ago. Hillary, my full stepdaughter, she goes, we have this guy in our area that breaks into people's cars and take their change out if the door's unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
And this time the guy came into my car and he left the glove compartment open, and he didn't take any change. And I go, that's weird, because when I went into my car the other day, my glove compartment was open as well. And I thought, that was my thought, like, oh, someone who's programming the code made a mistake and programmed a code for glove compartments
open.
I don't know why. Why? Who knows? What was that about?
It was a mistake in the code.
It was a flaw. Somebody put a 1 where a 0 should have been, and a 0 where a 1 should have been, and mm-hmm. now random people have their glove compartments open.
Right.
Don't know why. That was my evidence, like, oh, we live in a simulation. Yeah. I'm not sure, because then they were describing the different types of simulation. Like, is it me? Like, okay, because here's the thing. Dax goes, I can believe I'm in a simulation because this life rocks. I'm married to Kristen Bell. I have great friends. I got a successful podcast. I drive fast cars. I'm rich. This life rocks. I got 2 great kids.
How did this happen?
Yeah. This is amazing. My life rocks.
Yeah.
Like, why would someone, and then he goes, you know, I've got a friend in Australia who talks to me every month about conspiracies. I might have just been in a Sims program and said, I'd like to purchase that program where my avatar has a friend come in from New Zealand that talks about conspiracy theories. You know, I'm like, oh, see, when you get into the nuts and bolts of it all,
yeah.
you're just like, okay, I don't know, you know. But what I do know, what they were talking about, coincidences, and like fun coincidences and fun luck things that happen. We talk about faith. We talk about God's plan.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has just a different nomenclature for the same stuff.
Well, there's a person in our lives who I call Golden.
Yes.
And there are, Greg. That's what I call, I was not thinking of him, but yes.
Oh.
But you know, that I just think that are just golden in the sense that things just happen to seem easily and effortlessly.
Right. Yes. Oh, I know somebody else.
One of your cousins.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. And that person you've always said was golden. Yeah. Yes. And
then I wonder, by me saying that, does it make her more golden?
Right. It could be. And the fact, though, that we don't know much about our life besides what we know. You know, we don't.
Was it this week that we learned what was the opposite of Freudian?
Yes.
What was the Freudian?
So there's a German word meaning that you get the pleasure from people's misfortunes.
Is it
Freudian? Alexa, what's the German word that means getting the pleasure from somebody else's sorrows?
Misfortunes.
Yeah.
Getting the pleasure from somebody else's sorrow in German is.
Okay, well, that's not it.
It's Schadenfreude.
Yeah, Schadenfreude.
Freudenschreude. I don't know. Something like that. Yeah.
But there's an English word that means deriving the pleasure from other people's pleasures.
Yes.
And Dan Savage taught us that word because
it's
a kink. I don't know.
Compersion.
Compersions.
Yeah.
Compersion.
Yeah. It's a little bit different than compassion.
Yes.
It's compersion.
Yes. Compassion is you have sympathy for somebody. Compersion is I get joy from somebody else getting joy, even my partner. So if I get joy seeing my partner get sexual joy from somebody else, that's because that's his take.
Yeah.
It's always a little
It's kink. Not perversion.
Yeah.
It's compersion. And so, it's the opposite of Schadenfreude, that is.
I have to say right now that I want to live more in that compersion.
Yes.
I had a couple instances the last 2 weeks where somebody shared their great news with me.
Yeah.
And I really chose to be so extremely happy for them.
Yeah.
Even though I had a 1% jealousy.
In the midst of, like, you know, you're trudging off to do whatever you do, you know.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Oh, yay.
Yay.
Oh, yay
so
for
happy.
The other person.
Yes.
Yay.
99% of me says yay.
Yay.
I'm going to focus on that 99%.
Yeah.
So, girlfriend, how was the show? And happy Mother's Day to
everybody.
Oh,
thank you. Thank you. And happy Mother's Day to all you girls out there.
Whether here on planet Earth or up in the mothership.
That's right. You're like, and it was great.
Oh, how was the show, girlfriend?
It was great.
It was great. It was great.